Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. It's episode 401, 401. Less impressive than 400 last week, but I'm not here alone. I am joined by Christopher Hyde.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, yeah. How are you?
Do you like the fact I gave you the sort of primo book in there, you know, the first name there? Normally I go somewhere else, but it was to you this time.
Honestly, I thought I'd be last. I'm quite impressed. I've got a little promotion.
That's the kind of podcast this is. You don't know what to expect. Who will I go to next? Will it be him or him? It'll be Christopher White. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, good. Good to be back.
Glad to. Of course, you weren't here last week. We've got a lot to catch up on, mate.
I missed out even.
That's fine.
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. And
also, we have a fourth member this week. By popular demand, I'm going to call him, he's like a Christmas present, so I'm going to call him Nicholas Fraser. How are you doing, Mick, all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you all? All right?
Yeah, I mean, drinking a nice glass of piss there by the looks of it.
It does look a bit... if your piss is that colour, then something's seriously wrong. Yeah. It's Lucozade, it's not piss, guys.
This only works on the video podcast, but that's 2 weeks on the run. And, is this some sort of I must have an exotic flavoured drink, or...?
Is Lucozade exotic? You need to get out more.
At least for a podcast, mate. Okay, go on. Chris White's going to show us his drink. Jesus Christ.
Now, that's exotic.
That's worth the video version alone.
Like bubblegum
flavoured.
It tastes like Diasa. No, it's... I love it.
Does that taste like... Have you ever had a Blue Wicked?
No. Yeah, I have, but no, it doesn't.
Okay.
It tastes exactly what it says. It tastes exactly like bubblegum.
You've literally got, as the Geordies would say, I'm not going to do the accent. Oh, God, Mick's here. I shouldn't have even mentioned accents.
I'm not going to do accents.
A pint of blue drink is what I was going to say for any fans of Atletico Mints out there, which is a terrific football, non-football podcast. That's a serious beverage, Chris.
It is, mate. It's a beaut.
That's someone who's turned up. He's glad he's here this week and is just not fucking about.
I ain't fucking about. I'm here for the duration, mate. The long haul. I'm ready to go.
Deadly serious. We should get started on the biggest game in the world right now, probably. I had a chat about it last week, and this week it's out. The game is out. I gave it 10 out of 10. I know Chris agreed. Chris spent even more time, I think, with it than me because he did a complete guide to it. But it would be nice to... Because I know, Chris Hyde, you're playing through... Well, the time this goes live, you've probably started The Last of Us 2, and so is Mick. But at the time, I know you are playing through, right now, as of this moment, The Last of Us Remastered, right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah. Right
now. So we're just... Chris and I thought we'd just do the spoiler cast, right here, just in front of you two, and just spoil the whole game.
Yeah.
We can talk about the game more now, but this is the weird thing, right? And I don't know, Chris, if you'll agree with me, but there's been a lot of talk about the embargo of this game and how you can't talk about this. But as a site, we tend to... It is site policy that you don't spoil the story.
Absolutely.
So I'm not sure that anything we're going to say this week is going to actually... Do you know what I mean? I don't know that I couldn't last week.
I can't believe within an hour of waking up this morning on Twitter...
Yeah.
I see things trending.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And granted, it's not like endgame stuff, even though I've seen casual tweets about that today, what happens towards the end or whatever. But it's relatively within the first few hours, stuff that happens that's trending and people are openly talking about it on Twitter. I'm sick of the user score. Well, I know I shouldn't get help about it, but it's the same with these kind of games. The user score on Metacritic, user score is 35 at the minute. How has anyone finished it? They're clearly just... being arseholes. I was going to use
I thought you were going to breach the...
I was going to drop the C-bomb.
Because even I don't use that until late in the podcast.
I just find it disgusting. As a game, it is fantastic. We're not talking about story. The game itself, to play it, it feels so good. It feels so different to the first one, yet it retains that core element of what made it special. The artifacts and the cards and all this, there's so many little nudges to Naughty Dog's legacy and also the creators, and there's all that kind of stuff to enjoy. But the level designs are fantastic. It is Uncharted Lost Legacy and yeah. Uncharted 4 in a way, where it was like a lot bigger, but it was still linear, but you could kind of, you can kind of go wherever you want, especially like the second chapter where you're Ellie in Seattle, like the big, you know, when you're out of your little, out of Jackson. And like one of the levels in that takes a long time to finish, but you can explore everything and there's so much to do. And just in general, like, this game deserves the praise it's getting. I think anyone that thinks it's a shit game needs to have a word with themselves, because it even if you don't agree with the story or you don't agree with what happens,
yeah.
you cannot deny that this is beautiful. It looks incredible. The sound design is incredible. The acting is incredible. The gameplay is best single player game I've played in a long time, bar, you know, God of War. It's God just...
Yeah.
It's fantastic, mate. And I think it's getting far too much negativity and people aren't getting it. They just want to jump on the bandwagon. I even saw
people sort of complaining about that. So they released, they're putting out like a limited edition acoustic guitar based on the one that the prominent one in the game. Mm. And I even saw people, because it's like 2,300 US dollars. And I saw people sort of even going on about, wow, that's just so expensive. But like, Taylor guitars are, and Martin guitars yeah. kind of are. And I saw a suggestion of, well, why didn't they make that guitar, but like the cheaper one? Because Taylor do some acoustic guitars that are cheap. But it's like, but whenever companies do limited edition shit and it's cheap, you moan about the build quality. Like, so this is a Taylor yeah. guitar. A beautiful Taylor guitar, and they are like, I don't know, maybe if it's people who don't understand or don't know, and that's fair play, but don't spout if you're not informed. Like, guitars, absolutely. Good guitars are expensive. They are. Mm. Like, you know, there's a guitar I'm eyeing up that's like 850 quid. I can't afford that, but that is not a high end guitar. Like, the one I would dream of, like the Gretsch White Falcon or the Penguin, we're talking $5,000. These are beautiful instruments. Like, a piano is not 50 quid, you know. I don't know. It yeah. just feels, I've never seen a game that is brought out so much hatred in a community that I really feel should be about love. Like, the thing about games that makes me so happy is that they can do anything, be anything. It, like I said last week, you're limited by the imagination of the people creating them. I've never seen anything. I've never had to moderate comments on our YouTube so much. People were moaning about, oh, you're deleting negative comments. No, I was deleting comments that were outright spoiling the game for people who hadn't played it yet and being outright abusive. And I'm real sorry if you don't like that, but our house are rules, and you don't get to call me a word that I don't want seen on our channel. You don't get to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you don't like that, there are other choices. I'm all for constructive criticism. Like, I've had people call us out for spoiling a thing in the past. I'll never forget the game. It was a game called Crossing Souls. Really enjoyed that game. And someone said, you've spoiled it. You've said you've not spoiled it. And I looked at the footage. It's like, yeah, I've shown a bit of footage there that it's not like, this is a spoiler, the end of the game. There's just a bit on the screen that made me go, actually, yeah, that is a spoiler. I fucked up. Hands up. But you don't get to come and be abusive, and you don't get to come and spoil the game when we're very clearly putting no spoilers in our video review.
Absolutely.
But I will go back comment, to that. Actually, I removed a comment. I removed a comment earlier today. Some guy just came straight on. I think it was.
Yeah.
There's been a few of them. Just literally just put the whole.
The plot.
This is what happens. Yep. Don't buy this game. And I just thought, you know what, mate?
No, that's what I'm saying. So I should say it's not just me been doing it. Like, me and Mick both sort of run that.
I mean,
channel.
You know what I mean, Lee? I don't mind the ones where they're making themselves look like fucking idiots. Leave that.
No, leave it.
The world can see that. Yeah, but same. Someone who's come on deliberately that. Just spoiled it for everybody just to be a bastard. Nah, mate.
I mean, I'm not going to say who it is or what the comment is. But I left it there today, Mick. There was one as of recording today that is a one-word comment. So you can look this up if you want for that review, and it's spelt wrong. And
I saw that.
And I was like, you know what? I'm leaving that because you know what? You've given me one word and you've still, you know, and it makes you wonder about the people who are making those comments. But it also reinforces exactly who is making those comments. And yeah. But the actual game.
Yeah, the game's fantastic.
I did chuckle this morning. And I shouldn't because I shouldn't fuel the fire. But I did chuckle this morning when I saw that on Twitter. #JoelIn1 was trending.
Oh, wow.
which one? It did make me laugh.
But even that, right, and Chris Hyde is sat there not having a clue what we're talking about, and so are people who probably haven't played the game. But even that spoiler, that repeated spoiler that I've seen, Chris, I shut my eyes at night and I can see it scrolling, that it's like, God damn it, if you're going to do that, if you're going to be that douche, am I the only one who thinks, just be a bit original about it?
Yeah.
You know, just parrot in someone
clever,
else.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, just try and maybe be, I don't know, here's an idea for you. Try and be funny. Like, you're probably going to, if it makes us laugh, like that one word comment, which I'm going to just assume is intentionally badly spelt, because it has to be. I'm going to just say, I don't know, look, the game's fantastic. Like, Chris and I, like, you know, Chris has been through it multiple times, I have now. It's the one thing it's not, and I noticed this because I started another playthrough like on New Game Plus, actually. The one thing I noticed, and Chris can back me up here, Chris White, is it's not going to be a game that's going to be speed run very easily, which makes the kind of reviews appearing 2 hours after it was released all the funnier, because it's a story-heavy game, as their games often are. And because I'd played it twice, I was like, I'm just going to skip the cutscenes. You'll get a cutscene, skip it, and you're like, oh, loading screen. And then you get, there's another cutscene, because they've split, it's obviously the scenes.
There's quite a lot like that.
you can be looking at loading screen quite a while. The speedrunners are going to struggle to speedrun, unless they, I don't know, somehow get it running on a PC, you know, emulated. It's not going to happen. But
it's just enjoy it. Just don't be a dick. Just enjoy it for what it is. I honestly don't know why it's hated so much. If there's constructive criticism in a week or so about the story, then
yeah,
I'll listen to it. But at the minute, there's no way anyone could have played through it and know exactly what happens, regardless of what was leaked or whatever. I still don't know what was actually leaked. But even still, once you play this game, see it for how it is, play it as it's supposed to be played, you know, and then come back to me and complain about it. But at the minute, just fuck off, enjoy it. It's fantastic. Visually, everything, man. And that soundtrack throughout.
Out of interest, because in the review I said it, I was like, I think it's better soundtrack than the first. Where do you sit on that?
I love it. I think the actual soundtrack is in the score by Gustav Santaolalla is...
Don't get that wrong. The comments will be there again. I've had a couple of them as well, because I cocked that up in the preview. Sorry. Hand up. I pronounced it wrong.
Yeah. Fuck you.
No. To be fair, it wasn't mean. It was just, I cocked it up. It's all right. I'm nearly 40. I definitely can say I made a mistake in that. I pronounced it wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I mean, if no one's noticed...
What's the clinic?
I don't know. I wonder if anyone's noticed in their reviews yet, because whenever someone specifically mentions a name and it's spelt in a way that's difficult to pronounce, I've just started not doing that bit and just finding a way around it. Or is there
have noticed. Yeah,
you have been fucking doing it like a lot, mixing love naming people, and I'm just like, I'm not. He's trying to do it. He's doing me. You know, he's trolling me here. But no, it's a fantastic game. It's weird because I wanted to talk to you, Chris White, mostly about this, because obviously I know that you and I think everyone here loves that first game, but you would play it yearly, and I noticed, and I wonder if you noticed this, because it's easy to reflect on you, it's harder to reflect on yourself that other people notice. I noticed that your feelings about these games, while I knew that they were both 10 out of 10s for you, I feel like they elicit quite different reactions. Like, whereas the first, I know you look back on, and it's like the connection, like we talked about last week, Mick, like the connection to the story. And in fact, Chris Hyde, we were talking, weren't we, about how when you first played this game, you didn't have kids, and you're replaying this now with a daughter.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I winced a bit when you said just then, like, everyone loved the first one. I'm going to hold my hands up here and say I thought it was all right the first time I played it.
Okay.
I thought it was good, just not the best game ever that everyone else was saying. But I was like, got on the hype train for the second one, listening to you guys talk about it, previews, everything else. I was like, I've got to give this a second go. And all my days playing through it now, one, just giving, I think, the story more of a chance than I did before. I think I got hung up on the, not average, but, you know, just decent gameplay more than the story. Gave it more time than I probably should have done versus the story. And yeah, with a daughter now, playing it through now, that opening scene, you said it last week, Mick. Oh my days, it sucker punched me last week when I played it.
Yeah.
Just literally putting myself in that position. You know, being a dad, I was, whereas 10 years or however long ago it was, 8 years ago when I played it, just almost washed over me, the soulless man that I was back then. But now, I've got a lot more time for the story. I'm only about halfway through. I've just got to the full section. So I'm just in the second season part, which I think is about halfway through,
right,
from memory. So I know from memory it ramps up again in the second half as well, the story wise. But yeah, I'm glad I've replayed it, let's put it that way, because I think it's gone from being one of those games that I liked but wasn't waxing lyrical like everyone else, to a game that I'm really appreciating a second time around. So I'm so glad I've done it to prepare myself for the onslaught of The Last of Us 2 when I get to play that.
I mean, something that I found interesting is, he's not here this week, obviously, Adam Carroll, but he was talking to me about, because he obviously was playing through the original again, and I think he mentioned it. He sent me a text and he was saying, I'm so ready for this now. And he mentioned something, and I wonder how truly divisive the original was in terms of the gameplay, because something he said was the complete opposite to how I felt. And he said that, for example, while he enjoys the infected stuff, he felt like the game was like, oh no, I love the combat with the human enemies. And I've always felt, and the same, Chris, I don't know, Chris, yeah, White, if you feel this for the second, I still feel like the actual best stuff is the infected stuff. Not that I don't enjoy the human enemies, but it never occurred to me. I sort of assumed everyone felt that way, that like, no, the best stuff is when you fight the infected and there's the clickers and the runners and the new enemies in the sequel that I'm not going to name. But I was curious, like, did everyone else feel that way, or was I the one that was the outlier?
I think, definitely, I never thought about it really on the last game, but right, with this one, there's a lot of both, isn't there, really? And the best, yeah, moments were when you're going through, trying really to be really careful, you just go through a building, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, where you're not expecting it, the infected will pop up. Whereas when it's against like the soldiers or the humans who haven't been infected in the game, it's all very staged, so you know it's happening. But the infected are always a surprise, and that's what kind of tests your ability to move around efficiently and flip between your guns. Mm-hmm. You don't have as much preparation as you would do if you find the guards. So yeah, never really thought about it, but because there's so much it's a lot longer than the first game. You have more opportunities.
Yeah, it's over double, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say the infected are probably the best. Yeah.
Chris Hyde, so as someone who's playing it now, where would on that? Like,
I think I flipped a little bit. At the time when I first played it, I think I know it's not a zombie game, but I'd kind of, you know, that whole, I kind of got a bit kind of, not bored of zombies, but it wasn't new and different. So I feel like I was reacting perhaps less to the infected than the human enemies. But playing it through now, I think it's just they're very different. Like you say, it's, you know, obviously infected's kind of up close and reactive, whereas, you know, the against human enemies, it's more sort of, it could be more like long range fighting, and it can be stealth for both, but it's, you know, it's kind of short and long distance, isn't it? And that, I feel the intensity and the atmosphere is much higher, obviously, with the infected, which I think now that I'm embracing the story more, which I should have done the first time, or if I did, I forgot. But I think it's certainly, I think this time round, I am preferring it in the way you're describing, which is I prefer the atmosphere of, like you say, the clickers and the runners and everything else, what that brings. And I've kind of braced myself more for those fights when they happen and those encounters than I do just with kind of hunters out in the open. That's just a part of the story to get through, almost, rather than,
yeah,
you know, the intensity of the clickers and stuff. So
I want to throw this out there and see how this sits. Clickers, okay? I think they're one of the scariest enemies in a video game. If you play these games with headphones on, when they scream, it's terrifying. Is it just me?
No.
I really I didn't think that. I haven't played. I haven't started the second one yet. But in the first game, I didn't find them to begin with. The first time you come across them, I did the first, because as you know, I don't particularly like horror games. I'm a bit of a wet lettuce when it comes to sort of horror and stuff like that. But I remember I always preferred, I never thought The Last of Us needed the infected stuff. Like, it always, really? I always liked, yeah, because it always put me in mind of like Cormac McCarthy. Is it Cormac McCarthy, The Road? Have you ever read The Road?
Yeah.
It's sort of with the way Joel's relationship was with Ellie, and like the world they're in was already dangerous enough. But then when you got the infected in there, I didn't, I'm not saying it didn't need it, but it at the time when I was playing, I kept thinking, oh, I forgot there were, you know, zombies in this. But then I thought the clickers, I think there's a point about halfway through the game, I think, where you just start, if I remember, because it's been a long time since I played the first one, so forgive me if I'm completely wrong, but I'm sure there's a point about halfway through the game where it just became easier to use like Joel's mystical see-through walls ability and just shank the fucking things before they get a chance to see. And that's what I started doing in the first game. So it, to begin with, I remember, like you said, the scream and the noise, when you hear that noise and you're like, shit, there's one here somewhere. That was really good. But by about halfway through, it was like, you hear the noise and just be like, right, where are you? And then I'd find them and I'd just stick them all in the back of the head and then, you know, carry on. So
that actually, oh Christ, I think I nearly spoiled something then, Chris White. I was going to say that actually, that there's, this is going to sound awful, but there's elements of this game that do sort of change the sort of shanking them. You know what? I'm going to shout out. There's no point because no, I can't.
I hope there is. I hope the quickest.
There is.
But then that's kind of a gamey thing, and I know that's because people will, now that The Last of Us 2 is out, people will play it. Their heads will level. A lot of people, the people who don't want to play it, the people who are trolling already, I don't give a shit about them.
They're not going to change their mind, even if they secretly think it's the best game ever made. They have made up their mind, and even if they love it, they will never admit it. End of.
But there is a percentage of people who have been vocal against it who will still play it, right? And I think it's probably going to be a good percentage, and those people will play it, and their minds will be changed, or they won't. But there will be now going forward. There will be proper discourse, I think, about this game, where people can actually say, well, I've played it now and I think this. And if you look back, if you look at The Last of Us, the first one now, you can see, like, you know, people have been, particularly the last few months, the build up to The Last of Us 2, people, YouTubers and things like that, have been replaying the first one and giving you their thoughts, and they're like, Chris is playing through it. The way people talk about The Last of Us now, I feel that people are looking at it deliberately in a more critical way. Like, I remember playing the first one, even when it came out, and I didn't really care about the fact that there was a kind of a bottomless inventory in it, which for a game that's quite real and was quite focused on realism in some aspects. And then you've also got like an inventory where you can stash God knows what in your backpack, and, you know, you can hide sawn off shotguns or whatever. That sort of thing, that people, when people are discussing Last of Us now, they're talking about that stuff. That never bothered me. I don't really care about that because it's at the end of the day, it's a game, and that's what it's always going to be about. But it's weird to see the people, a lot of the stuff I'm seeing about The Last of Us, a lot of the critical side of Last of Us, is like, oh, you know, there's a lot of things where you've got to move a dumpster to get over a wall. Well, so what? That, you know,
you see, again, though, they did take a lot. So I'd forgotten, genuinely, the thing people took the piss out of the first time was ladders and
crates,
like the broken down crate things, the pallets. It only occurred to me, again, don't want to spoil it, but there is a moment in this game where I was like, oh yeah, and they're almost going, we listened. Like, there's two moments like that, Chris, isn't there, involving both one a ladder and one a pallet, where you're, and the game literally goes, are you happy yet? It just, this game's come out and it feels like it's weirdly like, what do you want us to stop hating us, please? What more can we do?
It'll be like the Coldplay of video games. Like, people will complain about it.
Fucking
them.
Box quote.
People will complain about it, but it'll still sell millions. Like, it's just people are more vocal. There's just, we just see a lot of people being vocal. But,
well, we don't though. That's the thing. We've got a really good community.
I go on Twitter for my sins. I don't know why. Sometimes,
yeah, there's your first mistake.
There's this. I've seen very few nice things said about it. By people I don't know, by people I know. That's fine, but it will still be the number one game of the week. It will still go on to be in the game of the year. What game? You know, winning all sorts. You know, it'll still be heralded as a classic, and rightly so.
Yeah.
And it has changed a lot to improve the gameplay from the first one. And regarding like the shivs, that it isn't a spoiler when they've already said their focus, like in the gameplay, like the videos that they did before it released with Druckmann and a few of the other people involved in the game, were saying that the focus on Ellie is that she is small and she is young and she won't be able to do some of the things that Joel used to do, and like so. There's no secret we've done the guide. You play as someone called Abby, right?
Okay, yeah.
That's
as spoilery as you're going to get. I will put spoiler warnings in this video.
And
you think that's out there though, anyway, guys?
Yeah,
it is. But like they have used a picture of her on their Instagram. They have used a picture of Abby. They haven't, I don't think, said what the. It's fucking stupid because at some point. It's a video game and it's a mechanic. So, Chris, I think you were going to go on to say this. When you are playing as Abby, there are mechanical differences. Not like suddenly playing Tetris.
But it's totally different in the sense that she is a strong, militarized female. And she is obviously of a different stature to Ellie.
Yes.
Ellie was brought up differently. They're completely separate, so they are going to have different abilities that aren't the same, and I think the nuances there work very well. And whenever you play as Abby in the story, it comes at the right time,
yep.
Very much like God of War, and it offers up a fresh change whether you want it to or not. I think it does it excellently. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say this won't be the last week we talk about The Last of Us 2. Mick is yet to play it. Chris Hyde is yet to play it. Adam Carroll is probably going to be playing it probably the third time through it as you watch this podcast or listen to it. But what I will say is that I genuinely have things I want to say about Abby, about when you play as her. And I am still at the point where I don't want to put those thoughts out there yet. They're not negative. They're totally the opposite. But I just still feel it's a little too soon. The time that people can hear this, the game's been out for 4 or 5 days. We will come back to The Last of Us Part 2. There's no question it's going to be a topic of discussion for a great while. And we're going to come back to it at the end of the year because I'm telling you right now that it is in my list already. No question about it. It is. Before we move on to what everyone else has been playing, I just want to quickly throw out some... I've been playing Burnout Paradise on Switch. Burnout Paradise Remastered. And it's a bit greedy, isn't it? Like, have you seen the price of this game?
No.
Full price. That's a full... Well, no, because Switch games are what now? 50, 60 yeah, quid, 50, aren't they? Yeah. But if I literally Google Burnout Paradise Remastered, I'm doing this live, Amazon... you shouldn't hear the mic. We shouldn't pick up stuff. We'll go to amazon.co.uk. And what have we got here? PS4 version of Burnout Paradise Remastered. Would anyone like to take a guess at how much?
$49.99.
No, PS4 version.
Oh, PS4. $29.99.
$14.49. Yeah. Xbox One? £14. Yeah. Nintendo Switch?
£44.99.
Yeah, ridiculous. The Witcher 3 is the same. It's the same.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Right, Switch. Burnout Paradise is one of... I think it's the best racing game ever made. There it is.
I'm going to argue with you there.
Yeah.
I think that Forza Horizon 4 is the closest we've ever come to getting another one. I think it... And I've said this in the Switch review. I think you can channel the spirit, and they do. They channel the spirit, and it's... But the heart of Burnout Paradise is... It wants to soar. It wants to scream. It doesn't, and I don't know. I was talking to you about this today, Mick. I read after I wrote my review for the Switch version. I read my review of Remastered on PS4. I think I played it on, and I actually read my review of it, and I was like, "Oh, what a miserable bastard!" Like everything that Adam 2 years ago didn't like, this Adam really liked. And I don't know. Like, it doesn't have a GPS like Forza. You don't click on a map, I want to go there, and GPS is like turn left, turn right. It just comes up on the screen up here like blinking indicators almost for like this is Boulevard or whatever, this is Avenue. And I kind of don't mind it because it feels like the whole game is about freedom. Like, yes, you're in a race, but you start here and you end up over here and how you get there, we don't really care. And I spent, like, the first race I played when I started reviewing the Switch version, I started it and I was ahead, and then I went my own way and I was in eighth for, I would say, 90% of the race, and then I came out of the shortcuts and I'm first. And to me, that's the spirit and the heart of that game. You know, a race from A to B where the entire idea is you just don't die. Get to point B from point A and don't let them trash you. And I don't know. I wonder if we've got, because I want another one of these. And I wonder if the reason we won't get one, because I don't think we will at this point, is because it's kind of the skate thing. And we'll get onto this with EA. How do you make a game that is that beloved? How do you do another one of them? How do you like I say, you can channel the spirit and the ideas, but how do you take that? Because they can't make Burnout Paradise 2 like this. People will complain. There were people who will play this for the first time and accept the lack of GPS. Because it's an old game. It's over 10 years old. They won't accept it in a new game. And I don't know that I want a Burnout Paradise with all the mod cons. Like, I don't know. I think I'm getting to an age where I like stuff from the past. Not everything. Jesus Christ, not everything. Don't use that quote out of context. There's plenty in the past that can just... I had a conversation the other day with a gentleman who... The only word I could use to describe him was a fucking racist. And the stuff he said... And I'm not easily shocked. I was genuinely like, I didn't think people like you saying that sort of stuff still existed. And yet, I know you do now, because I'm right here experiencing it. So, yeah, some stuff stays in the past, and it should stay in the past. But in terms of games... but anyway, Burnout Paradise Switch. 720 in your hand. 1080p on your screen. 60 frames, smooth, properly. So I couldn't notice anything going wrong with it. Yeah, it doesn't look quite as good in handheld, but I found it fine. And I don't like playing in handheld, so that says it's very good. But 50 quid nearly. 50 quid Storption. Nearly. Best parts of it's too much, isn't it? You can get it for Steam. I think it's on like £5 on Steam. Now, I know it's like a Nintendo tax. You're paying the premium for having it on a handheld, but...
That's bullshit, though.
It is. It is. Yeah. It pains me to... Again, in the review, I'm using my own words. They've dampened the fanfare of what should be a celebration. This game's brilliant. It's on everything. And... whatever. And 51 worldwide games, which I'm going to play more of. I fucking love games like this. I love that. I got it because my wife plays a lot of Animal Crossing, more than I do now, actually, and I wanted something, you know, that's the gateway, and then I want to bring her across with 51 worldwide, and we'll see what happens when we get over here at the end. But in the middle, she hasn't actually played it yet, but Chris, obviously, you reviewed that, and it's just, yeah. It's just... You weren't wrong about the voiceover stuff and the little sort of skits. Some of them are super weird. Like
they're very Nintendo, aren't they?
But also they're kind of not as well, because like arguing angry child with mum and dad or something, and like I just want to play Ludo. Is that all right? Like, I don't. You can skip all of it.
Are you enjoying it though, the games? And
yeah, no, really good. Like I haven't been through them all yet. There's one Claire mentioned, because this is not the first game in the series. It was on 3DS as well. Was it DS? Might have been DS, actually. I think it was DS.
We
play it regularly, and I can't remember. I'm struggling now. There was a game on there that she played a lot of that I don't think is in this version, but at the same time, a lot of the Uno's in this, but it's not called Uno.
Yeah.
Because they can't use, because Uno's a copyright. What is it called? Like Last Card Standing?
Something like that. It reminded me when you mentioned doing it the other day. I was like, yeah, that's technically a 51.
It is. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely not right, but it's there. But that's, yeah, that's all I've been playing. Has anyone else been playing any games they would like to discuss? I'm just going to throw it out there.
I've been playing West of Dead.
Okay. Interested already? Want to play this?
This has got Ron Perlman in, so just there you go. I don't need to say anymore. It's a Western game.
Sold.
With Ron Perlman. It's actually really good. It was really. Has anyone else got? Has anyone been playing this?
No,
it's on the list. Okay, it's Game Pass, isn't it, on PC?
I don't know, because
I think it is. I'll check while you talk.
Yeah, but no, it's really good. It's like What did I review a couple of weeks or a couple of months? I don't know. So this year's a blur. There was a game called Ritual Crown of Horns.
Oh, I thought you were going to name another one. Go on, carry on.
No, I was going to name, yeah, Ritual Crown of Horns, which was another, like, a supernatural Western thing. I always find supernatural Westerns or Westerns with that sort of theme, they're all really samey. Like, the gameplay can be really different. The, you know, you can have whoever you want doing the voice acting, you can have whatever mechanics you like in it. But the atmosphere and the art style are always the same. There's always a lot of goat skulls and pentagrams, and everything's red and black. And I'd love to see someone do it just a little bit different one day. But anyway, yeah, this West of Dead, it's kind of like, it's a bit Dead Cells-y. I get a strong Dead Cells vibe from the way the game is structured. But at the same time, it's kind of like a cover-based twin-stick shooter. So,
what was that other one that was released? Like I'm sure you reviewed it. Oh, like Angels and Demons.
Devils.
Yes, yes. Devil's Trigger. Devil's Trigger. Devil's Trigger. Yep.
Yeah, it's quite similar to that as well. But it's you're a guy who's just like dead. You're a cowboy who's dead, and you've woken up in purgatory because it's a supernatural Western, and that's where they go. And yeah, for some reason, your head's on fire, like the Ghost Rider.
Oh.
No apparent reason other than that it's cool as fuck. And it's Ron Perlman, he does the voice of him. And the whole game is just basically, you're just in this cycle of purgatory. So you begin with nothing, and then you fight through rooms of enemies until you die, and then you start again. But it's a bit like Dead Cells in that everybody you kill, you collect sins. And then when you get to like a hub in between stages or missions, you can trade those sins with a witch and then unlock things that will then drop randomly throughout the next run when you die. So different weapons with different attributes on them.
This sounds great so far, by the way.
Things like that. And you've got like two special abilities that you can have, and they're everything from like dynamite to big Bowie knife and things like that. That are just like a one-shot thing, then on a cooldown. You start off in like a bar every time, and when you go through the saloon doors, it's just dark. And it's basically like the world is dark all the time, and every room that you go into has got a cover and lanterns and enemies, and you can't see into the darkness. You can't aim. There's an auto-aim, but you can't auto-aim to enemies that are in the dark, whereas they can see you. So you've constantly got to stay in cover, and basically all you've got to do is you've got to hit a lantern so you can light the room up so you can see them, which stuns them. And then you've got to take them out. And so you've got, like, there's pistols and there's, like, rifles you have to aim for a little while. Then you've got shotguns and all this stuff. There are zombies and guys with guns and big dogs and Wendigos and all sorts of things that the game throws at you. It's all randomly generated as well, which is really cool. But the cover system's great because the guy's quite nimble anyway. But you'll sort of slide into cover, and then everything's contextual with the A button, because I'm playing on PC, but I'm using a controller because it's built for a controller, really.
Yeah.
And
twin stick shooter, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and then you just, and the guys will be shooting at you, and obviously the cover that you're in will crumble after three or four hits, so you can only stay in one place for so long, and then you can like slide across it or slide into the next cover, or if their reticle goes red at the last second and you hit dodge, you'll do like a slow motion dodge. And that, there are certain skills that you can unlock that will allow you to heal when you do dodge at the right time, things like that. So, but it's just really cool. Like it's not perfect, but because as you can imagine, it's kind of isometric. So it's not fully top down. And the screen area is quite confined because you're quite large on the screen. You'd expect it to be, but William Mason, I think his name, is quite large on the screen. So the camera can be a bit of a pain in the ass, and the auto-aim can be just finickety sometimes. But that's really the only complaints, because it's just really good. And then obviously you've got, on top of all this cool Western shooting action, you've got like Ron Perlman and he just sounds like a guy who's just fucking sat in the back of an Uber talking to the driver. I mean, there's all this supernatural shit going on. There's Wendigos and witches and he's been killed and resurrected, and every time he dies, he comes back to this bar and has a start. But he's just like, he just doesn't give a shit. It's just such a laid back narration that it's like something weird will happen. He'll just be like, oh well, that's that, and then it just carries on again. But it's got a real good vibe. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
But yeah, so there's that, West of Dead.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, Hyde, I mean, you've been off... You've been playing The Last of Us, haven't you?
Last of Us and Astroneer, which we could get on a rabbit hole on, which we probably shouldn't.
I've downloaded that, finally.
Well, we should mention it, because Chris White, obviously, has been incredibly busy with The Last of Us. Mm. And so we sort of showed him what we'd been doing while he was... I think we're at the point we probably should start streaming this game, maybe. Because I feel like people would watch it and feel like we feel, which is that we are chilling out, chatting friends, and they would see the gameplay. And I not to hijack it, Chris, fuck me, that game. I still can't stop thinking about it.
It's really weird, right? Like I'm playing The Last of Us at the moment, and obviously I'm really invested in the story, and, you know, that scene I mentioned earlier about at the start of it, you know, really got to me and really felt it. And then what do I dream of? I dream of Astroneer and like resources and stuff and discovery and all that sort of stuff, because there's just something so it's for me a discovery part of it that I really enjoy. Like there's been so many moments that me and you and Adam and Chris have been on where we've just played naturally and organically discovered something, probably in the wrong order, but we've discovered it ourselves, not knowing what we're doing, stumbled on something and just been mesmerized by it.
But you could chart it. You could chart the discoveries, like, you know, I would throw out, and like you talk about moment of the year. Now, moment of the year on the podcast this year, right? That's something that's not tied to a game being released that year. And I would throw out jetpacks. I would throw out, if I say engines.
Yes.
That's not. I mean, why am I worried about spoiling this game?
For Mick. Mick's downloaded it. We've convinced him.
But it's...
Mick won't get to it for weeks.
No, he won't. I've seen your list, Mick. But like, I could throw out the rover. I could throw out the. Do you remember? This is weeks ago now. Do you remember how desperate I was to get the biggest space shuttle? That now is just like, why have we even? We've got our base. People might have seen it in screenshots. We've got three shuttles. There's a small, medium, and large. We only use the large one. Why do we not just trash those other ones and maybe get the frame rate up a bit by reducing the base footprint, you know?
Yeah, because
It looks cool, Chris.
Yeah. Our base looks
there.
Cool, yeah.
Actually, yeah, there's no negative to that.
Yesterday, in terms of days or whatnot, when you took me deep and... and there was that discovery of what's actually at the core of the planets was like, I know you guys discovered that quite naturally, so it happened different for you. Whereas you got to show me it and like, it still blew me away. Like there's so many little things. Yeah. Like you can have a whole session where you spend like building up the base, collecting resources, research and all this and making sure that you're getting the next few bits that you need to go on an expedition, and then you get past that and you do have other sessions where you're going into space and you're traveling, and then you have like hours where you just don't really do anything.
Get lost in a rover trying to find the base.
Yeah, get lost in a rover. But you just
someone
like, I just
happened to
like,
someone.
You're naturally fitted to your roles and they can change quite a bit. It doesn't matter, but you always know what you want to do. And
absolutely.
Yesterday, when we went to the new planet, I just started flattening the base because I just wanted it to all be nice and
bloody hard to do that. Like
colonizing, it is, especially when you catch
prick
the
drives
wrong,
around
you
a truck.
Catch like a slight divot in the ground.
Yeah, or some prick drives a truck around like smashing through rocks.
Fucks it up. Yeah. Thanks.
But like. I actually think that's something I meant to mention weeks ago, what you've just said there, Chris. Like, again, Mick, sorry, you're not part of this little gang at the moment. You will be. You join us, Mick. Join us. Chris Hyde, I think you're the person I've played with most of this game. In fact, I know you are. But originally, and Chris White, when we first discovered this together, I was not leaving the base. My role was basically... Adam stays at the base while Chris White and Adam Carroll go off exploring. Chris Hyde does the resources and makes everything neat. And Adam is just here crafting, essentially. And now you can't fucking see me for dust because I'm on that rover just in the distance. and exploring and like the freedom. I didn't have that. I felt like I'm not going out there. It's too easy to die, run out of oxygen. It's just way too easy to fall down a hole. But then you get jetpacks and you get the car, and it's like, I'm invincible, man. I am the spaceman right now.
You like, earned it as well. Like you say, you earn it.
You say invincible, but I'm still not going to get my promotion to driver anytime soon, am I?
You worry me because, like, Chris White, I showed the vehicle to. Like, I drove. It was in my head, right? Chris was there going, "Oh, what's Adam going to show me in this?" Just, and I'm like, "Hey," and then Chris was like, "Oh, that's it. That's how it was going to go down in my head," and it kind of was similar, not quite as amazing as that, yeah. But Chris, whoever gets in the vehicle first is the driver, and if, say, I then get out, whoever got in next, I guess, is the driver. So I got out, and Chris was driving, and having experienced Chris Hyde's driving, and his, your fear, you are afraid of that vehicle. There's no two ways about it. And watching,
I have 100% failure rate with that vehicle. That's the reason.
I had to go rescue you. I had to literally go to you and dig the... And it's like, Chris, why? I was like, I'm not going to... Because, do you know... Again, everyone here is a father, so there's a feeling where sometimes you're like, so one of the things I don't like, for example, I'm not a very big fan of spiders, okay? But when the kid's around, it's like, fucking spider, whatever, fuck it, I'll be spider. But inside, I'm like, someone else do it, Claire. I'm busy. Could you? I would. Of course, I would. But I'm really busy right now. So if you could just get the glass and get that fucking spider out of this fucking cabin that's made of wood that I didn't think through at all when we had it built. But you don't want to let on because you just want people to discover things naturally. So with Chris, when he was driving and just went straight, like, you know, that you're driving along, there's suddenly a ravine you don't see, and he's like straight down it. And in my head, I'm going, shit. Shit, we've lost the RTG generator. We've lost the, everything's gone. And then I'm just like, just be quiet. Just be quiet. And then Chris just worked his way out of it. It's like, I almost felt proud. Do you know what I mean? That I ignored. That I just, no. And that, like, Chris, you seem to have the fear, whereas Chris White is, it's just like, I don't care about this car.
I don't know. After that, I was scared to go back in it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I don't know why. Is it me? Are you afraid I'll shout like, it's my fucking car?
I was.
You were actually. I could tell.
First time, right? And
I didn't let on. I knew, by the way. I knew the whole time he was trying not to tell me what he'd done.
The first time, the first incident, Mick. Right? It was me, Adam, and I think Adam Carroll had been on, but I think he'd kind of AFK. Adam was just exploring, and I thought, I'm just going to take the car. I can do it. It's fine. There's nothing
like
to worry
about. Like a teenager
about.
Sneaking out after the parents have gone to bed.
It's fine. I'm not going to go far. I'm just going to get some resources. I'll come back. He won't even know I'm gone. Sorted. And then I just started drilling. And we didn't have the paver at this point. So if you drill too far and you find a hole, which I did, found a hole in the planet, fell down it, then ran out of oxygen, died underground, and then... couldn't find my dead body or the car. It's still there. It's still in
Never
the middle of the planet somewhere. The car is still there. And so I spent the next 20 minutes trying not to let them know
I think
I'd lost
it was
it.
More. I Probably think maybe it was even a lot more.
Yeah, maybe
I
even
think
best
near
half
an
hour.
You And the just, thing is, you know how I knew? You just went really quiet for long periods. And I was like, something's not right here. Like, we were just chatting and he's gone really quiet. And then I look, sort of look around me and I go, when's he going to own up to this mistake?
And I was like, if I can get it back before he notices it's gone, like you say, like a naughty teenager, it will all be fine. And it was his pride and joy, this car. He'd spent ages crafting all the resources, making it all.
I just nicked it
and binned it in the planet. And we still don't know where it is. We've never got it back.
No,
we've got a better
one
since then, but it's all gone.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't even the good one, was it?
No, and then the good one, I thought, right, yesterday... second time, second chance. It can't happen twice. I told them both, I'm just going to take the car. I'm not going far. I'll let you know now this is what's happening. It can't happen again. Within 10 minutes, I was like, Adam, can you come and help me?
I think you called me dad, actually.
Yeah, the car was vertical in a hole and I was stuck and I couldn't move it. And he had to come and help me get it out. Honestly, I can't drive in that game. Just stick me on resource gathering. And that's all I can do.
I don't know, like, Mick, like, I don't know, Mick, are we selling this to you, or are you
I'm intrigued by it, because something that wasn't on my radar at all previously, because it didn't look like my sort of didn't look nearly violent enough to catch my interest. And then
no.
But then when you said you were playing it a couple of weeks ago, and then you kept saying you were playing, I thought, this is unusual for Adam, because usually, you know, it's not often that you actually get really hooked on a game outside of, you know, what we're doing and reviewing and things like that. And I thought, well, it seems like it's worth, because I'm always busy. I'm always playing like five things, so I just never got around to it. But the other day,
and the rest.
Well, yeah, the other day I was on, and I thought, you know what, it's there, it's on Game Pass. I hit download, so I've got it. When I'll get to it, I don't know, but you have sold it to me.
Did you download PC or Xbox?
No, I downloaded Xbox.
Did you download? I would recommend in your situation to go PC, because if you have the option to play on PC, it's on Game Pass for both. I would say if you have the option, I would strongly, strongly recommend PC, just for the fact that once you get to a significant stage, the loads are mental.
I think it was really, just because I was on Xbox and it was right there on Game Pass, so I just hit that download.
Okay.
But I will check it out on PC instead, I think.
Fair play. Let's talk some E3, sort of, because what I think people keep forgetting is we keep doing all these press conferences. It is, and EA Play has happened. And we'll just have a quick chat about this. I'm not going to lie, I didn't stay up and watch it. It was midnight. I found it a little confusing when so much of EA's output is sports-related and you have your FIFAs, that they would do it at such an unfriendly UK time. But, I mean, it's a global market, so I don't know. I'm going to start with a negative. No Mass Effect. Saying it was heavily rumoured would be an understatement. Like, there were journalists like almost factually saying, and it will be at EA Play. So unless Nintendo were going to do a surprise direct, and I'm pretty sure they said they won't be doing any because Nintendo don't have the facilities to do these at the moment. No Mass Effect. No HD
really
collection on Switch.
This is silly, to be honest. Yeah. It's now reached a point where it's like, why? You know, what the fuck are you playing at? This is what people have been clamoring for.
Yeah, but are they afraid? Because think of a lot of us said at the time after Andromeda, they need to leave it alone. But it's not a new game.
Exactly. And there's a lot of brownie points to recoup by sort of re-releasing the original trilogy. I know that the third one, I didn't find the third one, I'll be dead honest with you. I loved it when I played it. I don't know if I reviewed it somewhere. I did really like the whole trilogy in general. I'm not a massive fan of the first one anymore, because the first, you know, they changed a hell of a lot.
What quality of life stuff from one to two is
a huge goal.
But I would love to play one with two's
quality of life in pretty, absolutely. And this is the thing, right? EA, all the money in the fucking world, right? And they could, if they wanted to, they could do that remaster. And I don't think there's that many people that would be angry if they took one. If they've crammed it full of microtransactions and bolted on multiplayer, that would piss people off. But I think if they just got Mass Effect 1 and they did remaster it with the quality of life stuff from Mass Effect 2, I don't think people would be angry at that. I wouldn't be angry at that. I'd like to play that. Because the visuals, I mean, Mass Effect has always had, everyone went nuts about the visuals in Andromeda. Mass Effect has always been janky as fuck. Go back and play Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3. The engine always has Dragon Age. It's the same engine, is it, they use for Dragon Age as for Mass Effect? It's not.
I don't know. Andromeda would surely be on Frostbite, I would have thought. Andromeda, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe? But then it didn't look any. I thought most of Andromeda aesthetically was quite nice. I know they had problems with animation and the lip syncing and all that sort of stuff, but that was just. But I think going back and play Mass Effect 1, it's lacking. I think the first game is lacking. And the third game, all that stupid controversy at the end was just silly, I thought. But Mass Effect 2, that's all I really want. I didn't even want the greater trilogy. I kind of just want Mass Effect 2. But the thing is, I remember. Was Mass Effect 1 an exclusive at some point?
Yeah, it was. It was Xbox exclusive.
It was exclusive. And then when they released Mass Effect 2, that one came to PlayStation, didn't it, if I remember? But you wouldn't have had the choices, because the choices carried over.
one of the games they did some weird like comic style. You choose
and you
your
had
history.
To answer questions. Yeah, yeah, because you couldn't just upload a save directly to it. So you do lose that stuff if you play the trilogy as a whole thing. But what I'd like to see is the whole thing, just one great big remaster.
Mass
just release
Effect.
It in whatever they do with the third game, the quality of life, whatever they do, do that for all three. Give us the whole game, start to finish, to play through with that one character. Start because I'm sure that's possible. I'm sure EA could, and I think EA is a company that I think always need to win back favor for something. Like no matter what they do, they're always trying to win back favor somewhere. For every Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which I know you've got your reservations about, I have my reservations about it, but it was very popular. It wasn't bad.
I don't think it was bad.
It didn't do anything to really upset people. I think Apex Legends to begin with, I know it had some rocky moments, but I think Apex Legends, when they launched that surprise launch of Apex Legends, that got them some brownie points. But for everything they do that's good, they do something that really upsets everybody as well, like they did with Battlefront 2. And I don't know, I think the world is ready for the Mass Effect trilogy remastered. Yeah. I think it should be. It should have, EA Play this year, they should have had that. Like, forget everything. Even people are even clamoring for like Dragon Age Origins remastered and things.
Really?
I've seen that quite a lot. I've seen a lot of people saying that they'd happily play Dragon Age.
Did we get Dragon Age? There was a lot of things going on about three pictures, wasn't there?
Yeah.
No, they did what they did with Andromeda, didn't they? Where they said, this is what it's going to do.
They had a little thing where they showed their next-gen stuff, and there was... Dragon Age, but like...
Yeah,
people are wary of that shit now because of what they did with Andromeda.
I'm surprised they did this again, actually.
You know, the lead-up to Andromeda, I mean, studios... publishers, at a certain point, this industry just doesn't fucking learn. And at a certain point, the people, these companies have to learn these things. It's like Bethesda did it with Fallout 76. You know, Todd Howard came on when they were announcing that and said it's going to be 16 times as beautiful as Fallout. You know, and, well, wonderful. You know, that's great. And then the game comes out and it's just a fucking three-legged donkey in a horse race. And it's not good enough, really. And I think that they did that with Andromeda. EA did a similar thing with Andromeda. They came out and said, this is what it's going to do. And everybody went, wow, because we had loved, collectively, I think the gaming community had loved the Mass Effect trilogy. It's not that many people I've spoken to say, oh, bloody shit. But then Andromeda just destroyed that. And I think they could do the same with Dragon Age. I think coming out and saying this is what it's going to do is if they don't re-up that engine to a fucking to some degree, there's going to be problems. And people are waiting for EA to fuck up all the time.
Oh yeah. Well, to be fair, like I say, I started off on a negative. It's a bit unfair to have a go at them about what they didn't announce. So let's just jump on some stuff that they did announce.
I want to play Squadron.
Let's start with that because Star Wars Squadron is. They already announced it. Now they've shown it. I can't do the jokes because there's a camera there. I like Star Wars, but I'm not like the Uber fan that this gentleman is down here. Chris White is. So I can't. Let's say I can't do the jokes when there's a camera right on me. Star Wars Squadron. Yeah, I mean, but Chris White, you still are, right? You're still a big Star Wars fan.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So Star Wars Squadron.
It looks incredible.
Yeah.
However, I like towards the end of last year and the start of this year, I put in about 70 hours into Battlefront 2 when they released the big collection. When they, you know, you have all the outfits, all the characters, everything. And I didn't play. I played about 2 or 3 hours of the space combat thing because I disliked it. I disliked the online bits of it. I just didn't enjoy playing it online. I found I wasn't as nifty as others and it just kind of ruined the experience. So I preferred to stay on the ground. But I think, I mean, I don't know a lot about it because I haven't actually seen the new trailer. But is there a story to it? Is it like a single player as well?
There is, yeah.
Or is it like Battlefront where it's...
Well, this is what people are saying, is that, like, yes, there's a story, but there was a story to Battlefront. So
like Battlefront 2, where there's about a 5-hour story, and then...
I would... That's what... But, yeah, that said, it's also entirely playable in VR.
It could be really cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff they haven't used in Battlefront 2 in terms of, like, vehicles and location and stuff, and it could be really good.
What was the Star Wars game years ago? Was it Rogue Squadron. Now, I remember that. I couldn't remember the title, but I remember the game. That's what I want from this. You know, I want to trip up in a tat walker with my toe cable and things. You know, that's the vibe I got from this.
To be honest, that's what I want from a Star Wars game. So,
I want to be whipping, you know, above the trees of Endor. I know they're going to have a new storyline. See, I don't. I'm not into new Star Wars, right? I know we're not going to get into it because that's a whole other podcast. And I know Chris is a major fan, and I'm not going to, you know, shit on that. But new Star Wars from The Force Awakened, I like Rogue One. I like The Force Awakened. From that, I just lost it. To the point where I couldn't even get into The Mandalorian, which everyone really likes, and I thought that would be fantastic, and I just couldn't. I can't do it anymore. I like the older stuff. I do. I like the original trilogy. I like the stuff from the Old Republic, you know, I like that entire canon, which is now kind of it's not even extended universe now, it's Star Wars Legends.
Yeah.
But that stuff is what I like. That's the Star Wars that I really like. The darker stuff, the older stuff.
Yeah, no,
Darth
I agree.
Revan and Malak.
Darth Revan.
That's I can sit and watch and read, and all I can just consume that Star Wars forever. Mm. So I don't know, because I haven't. I'm a bit hazy on where Squadron comes in to, you know, because everything focuses on the fucking Clone Wars at the minute. Star Wars seems to be stuck in this period. It's got this fucking thousands of year history stretched out. All this thousands and thousands of years of lore, and it focuses on this fucking, 20-year period constantly. So I don't know where Squadron falls into that. But I'd love to see someone do what Knights of the Republic did. Was that BioWare? Oh, that was BioWare, gosh. Wasn't
that was
it?
BioWare.
That was peak BioWare. That was BioWare at the top. Absolutely. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see people do something original with Star Wars, because I don't think anyone's really done anything original with Star Wars since Knights of the Old Republic. Mm. It seems to be that way now. Everything is just kind of focused on this one period. So I kind of hope that Squadron gives us something new. But I've got no problem with them pandering to the fans with this one. I've got no problem with them throwing a Hoth level in there. And do you know what I mean? I want that. You've got to have a trench run. You know, I want that stuff. I want to battle a Yavin. I want to see all that stuff in a starfighter game with the Star Wars name on it. Just feed the geek in me, and then I'll be happy, to be honest. I hope EA. Mm. Well, who's publishing? Who's developing?
No, it's Motive, isn't it? EA Motive.
So it's an EA studio.
What did they do before? I can't remember. But that Star Wars is always a big thing. We're not going to dwell on it. FIFA, Madden. They didn't show an NHL, but they said don't worry about that, and which I took to mean we haven't shown it, but of course it's going to be an NHL.
Yeah.
FIFA on Switch is going to be legacy again. There's no point moaning about it. Why bother? I mean, I thought to myself the other day, I found myself, because I've been playing so much Switch recently, I was like, you know what, I might just buy FIFA on Switch. I was like, well, I reviewed 19, and if it's just legacy, well, what's the point? So, but I'm not going to moan about it, because I, in this respect, I'm a consumer and I know what it is. So why would I? I'm just not going to buy it. Simple as that. What else have we got? Apex Legends is going cross-play, which is great. It's coming to Steam, which is great. And then in holiday 2020, it's coming to Switch. Now, I will definitely try it on Switch.
Absolutely, yeah.
In the same way that I tried Fortnite on Switch and then went back to Xbox and PC. But it's great. There's one little thing that's nagging at me. EA are definitely putting their feet in the water to try and say, we're not that EA anymore. There's all these, like, they've brought everything to Steam. Like, Mick, you're reviewing, by the time you read this, watch this rather, Command & Conquer Remastered review will be up, video will be up. That was reviewed on Steam. We were given the option, do you want to review it on Steam or Origin? Steam, of course. They are definitely doing that more. They're also bringing all their backwards, their historical games to Steam, which is apparently, including Dead Space 3 is coming, and that just again feels like prodding the bear a little bit, like, you know, yeah, that ain't the best one, but give us the rest of them. But they're bringing a lot more. They're actually bringing EA Access to Steam as well, which is the first ever subscription-based model on Steam. So there's the deal being done there. Again, Apex Legends, that's cool. What else have we got? We've got Lost in Random. We've got Rocket Arena, which looks like basically EA's Overwatch. It was a Nexon-published game, and now EA are publishing it, so they've obviously seen something in that.
Yeah.
And then I think the probably the... We'll get to the biggest one last. The new Joseph Fares game, It Takes Two. Now, Chris, you obviously reviewed A Way Out.
Yeah.
Have you caught up on that? Has anyone actually seen the trailer they released for It Takes Two?
I've read the news. I haven't actually seen the trailer.
Is that what the game's really called?
It Takes Two, yeah. It's another co-op game.
I can get that, but is it, it's, I mean, that sounds
it's
like
called
a,
It
like
Takes
a,
Two, yeah.
Like a ballroom dancing sim or something.
Sounds like, sounds like a game show, doesn't it?
And that's an awful title for a game.
I don't like the way either he is choosing to or they are choosing to market this guy rather than the games.
Mm. Yeah,
now, he definitely seems like there's personality, right? It was very much evident at the Game Awards when he was like, fuck the Oscars. This trailer's 2.5 minutes long. The first minute are about him. Mm-hmm. Just him showing he... And it's like, I get that there are auteurs in the field. You have your Kojimas, you have your Swearies, you have your... But there were others. I'm not going to go and listen to them. I think they've earned it. Whether you like Kojima or not, he's earned the auteurship. He's earned...
There's a reason you know his name, Suda51. Right, there's a reason
Metal
you know
Gear,
their names.
Absolutely. They have made games that have stuck with the public in a way that not every game does. That's why they are like... That's why Death Stranding mattered, because it's the guy who did Metal Gear Solid is making something new. Fuck! Now, I'm not saying Joseph Fares can't be that, but I think he needs that game before we start marketing him ahead of the game. I remember at the time
you were
saying, like, A Way Out, if he had, and again, right, they showed a clip where, again, he's doing the acting in this game. He's doing the motion capture. There are reasons that there are professionals that do voiceover. There are reasons that there are professionals who are actors who, like for The Last of Us, example, the people who make, sometimes they do both, but other times you will get, like, for example, there's a character, Dina, who I believe they use two different facial captures. One of them, you can see still the bone structure, that's how good this is, but she's not the voice actor. There are reasons there are professionals at each of those things. I'm already looking at this, and I'm already feeling a bit put off. Not because the game looks beautiful, and like, oh yeah, this looks right up my street, but don't market a man at me when it's the game I'm going to play.
It's like a Tarantino film, isn't it? He always turns up in it.
But again, he earns that. He
I know,
that's
my point now. You know, because you look, you know, you wait when you watch the Tarantino film, you wait for the Tarantino cameo. And then he comes in and he does his thing and he's not in it for long. He always takes the scene a little bit.
It's the Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
It's the Stan Lee thing, isn't it?
He doesn't need to be the best actor because, like you say, he's earned it. Yeah. This fella's done one game.
Two games, technically, but...
Yeah. Okay, well, but you know, A Way Out's fairly well received in general.
I don't think it was.
I don't think it was.
It was all right. Yeah,
it didn't blow anything out of the water, did it? It wasn't. It didn't get Game of Year. And
that's
the
what
year
I'm saying.
Anywhere. You know,
it's not earned.
You know, it might have won awards. I don't know where all these awards come
also,
from. See games that go the winner of 50, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, probably got a shitload of laureates from somewhere, but you know.
But I actually have a deeper problem with this one. So, Chris Hyde, judging by the way you were reacting, you've seen the trailer for this.
Yeah. I watched it last night. I felt like I learned more about him than I did about the game.
Right.
I grew up in Beirut or something.
Cool story. But
I got the same vibe as you. I was like, okay, I feel like if you have to explain to me who this person is, then you shouldn't be leading with him.
I've got like a deeper problem with this. So for those who don't know, listening, and for I think obviously Mick and Chris, you haven't caught up on it yet. This game is about I think it was a little girl, wasn't it? I think whose parents are going through a divorce, and she doesn't want them to get divorced, so she makes mummy and daddy models, and they come to life. And the way he's talking, it's like, yeah, and fucking, and fuck this, and it's like, dude, the subject matter of this game doesn't... There's a massive dissonance here between the subject matter of your game, presumably, and the way you're talking and delivering your messages, this hip, cool director who's like, yeah, fuck the Oscars. Like, I felt like a massive disconnect. I was like, dude, I mean, your game, your rules, I guess, but the message I'm getting here is that the subject matter is really not important. And I don't know if that was just me, Chris.
No, I got the same. I guess he was trying to show passion for it. But I guess, like you say, it was more like
speak passionately.
Passionately
in an intense way. Like, but and he is intense, definitely.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not judging the game.
I don't know a lot about the game.
It's a platformer, from what I can understand. Some sort of platform game.
Yeah, no. But I guess intensity isn't a word I'd use to describe how it make me feel. And like it was very full on. And it's like, I agree with you completely. I felt like, because he's an intense character, that's what took over. And yet the subject matter of the game and the way in which it'll make you feel and the reason you should be excited about it is not because it's going to be intense. You know, it's not going to be a thrill ride.
He could have got away with that in A Way Out when that was cool. Like, he could have come on and said, you know, the guy's in fucking prison and blah. And it would have worked. But this is a bit... Yeah. Like I said, though, it's a bit Cliffy. It reminds me of Cliffy B. Remember how big Cliffy B suddenly, like, everyone just knew the guy's name.
But again, kind of had the pedigree in terms of that he earned it through Unreal, through Gears.
He did earn it, but then it kind of just went...
But, yeah, no, it did. And
everything sort of backfired. I feel for the guy, to be honest, sometimes. But
he gets an awful lot of shit.
You've got to earn that. You've got to earn that. Mm. Otherwise, it's just hot air, really.
At risk of literally... I don't think we mean to sound negative. I just think there's some very odd... The way they presented their stuff has been odd. But, of course, the biggest news is Chris White. Skates back.
Yeah.
Sure is. I think that's something we've all been... You know, whenever we feel like doing a... Games that should have a remaster or games that should have a sequel lists or whatnot, that's always pops up. I know it does for me, most of you guys, and Gary's obviously, I haven't spoke to him. I'm assuming he's quite positive about this one.
Nope.
But
No, I'm genuine, he's not.
Mate, sort it out. All right, I'm looking directly at the camera now. You need to just cheer up about video games.
But also, he has got a point. Like, he would have been excited about it a year ago. Like, we've got Session now, we've got Skatebird, there are
skaters,
we've got Tony Hawk.
I can't wait for Tony Hawk's. Most of us can't wait for Tony Hawk's, but Skate was fantastic. And the fact that they're making another one in today's day and age, it's exciting.
It's really weird. They actually said you willed it into existence, essentially. Like they said, the fans willed it again.
But every time there's an EA
play, it's just started the development. Yeah. So this is a year away at least.
That's fine. We've got Tony.
Okay. As someone that's like, I'm just going to say it. Like, I don't have the passion for Skate. I Tony Hawk's, and that was kind of it for me. They announced. Obviously, I know the passion from you guys with Skate is like comes up every year. I think.
I'm Tony Hawk.
Still play Skate 3 now.
Yeah. So I thought of you guys when they announced it. And I was like, are you literally just announcing you're saying it? You're doing it. That's all you're doing is just saying that we're going to make it at some point. And I was like, okay, anything else? No, just you're going to make it. Okay. And that's how I felt a bit like, I know that's supposed to be the biggest thing, but I was like, but I don't have the passion for it. So I guess, I got hyped when Metroid Prime 4's just a 4 came up. So I get it. Yeah. But, I was like, oh. That's it. So
I wonder if they would have announced it if we hadn't heard that there was the Tony Hawk's remaster.
Yeah, you think they pushed it? They pushed it.
I think they did a bit very because there's nothing to show. Like EA Play year, there'll be game to play. There'll be gameplay to show. This year, I don't think they'd have bothered. I think, but with Tony Hawk's coming in, and because as soon as, I'm on Twitter quite a lot. As soon as Tony Hawk's remaster was announced. I mean, the comments on that were, where the fuck is Skate? And it had nothing to do with Tony Hawk, you know, but the fans of Skate were saying, well, if they can do Tony Hawk's, why are we not getting Skate? Why have we got, you know, and that, I think they've gone, you know what, if we wait till next year to show this after Tony Hawk's is out, because, you know, as soon as
Tony Hawk will be out, they could see it gets a crap reception and cancel it.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know. I think
they won't.
Breaking Chris's heart there.
No, they won't cancel it.
I do think they jumped the gun because you know, of the excitement around the buzz around that Tony Hawk's remaster, I think they've gone. Because, you know, it's in this day and age, that's kind of a dangerous thing to say, we are going to make this game. We haven't started yet, but we're going to do it. You know, it's like...
Well, they did this before. They literally did this before.
Oh, really?
But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, they did it a few years ago.
I hope it does.
Some burnout games.
Like I said, I still play Skate 3 a little bit because I've got it, and my daughter plays it on Xbox.
Yeah.
She got it. It's on backwards compatibility. So I play it now and then. I was more of a Tony Hawk's fan. Tony Hawk's 3 was my favourite game for quite a while. I played nothing but. But I am looking forward to Skate 4. I hope they go through with it. I hope they do it and it's well received.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo are probably going to do something this month, and then it's Ubisoft at the end of the month. I want to say, I think, can't remember now, but they do.
Ubisoft got a shitload of stuff to catch up on because they caught after what was it? I can't remember what it was called now, and I reviewed it. What was the Ghost Recon?
Wildlands. No. Breakpoint,
right? After that, which I didn't hate. It got a lot more hate than I think it deserved. That game wasn't that bad compared to a lot of stuff that other companies have done, even compared to stuff that Ubisoft have done. I don't think Breakpoint was that bad. It had its moments, but I liked it. But didn't they, like, pull everything at that point? Didn't they just sort of say...
They sort of put stuff on hold, yeah.
Yeah. They said, you know, actually stuff that was going to be out... And I think, I hope Ubisoft, I always used to say that Ubisoft, I know it might have changed a bit now, but I always used to say with the Assassin's Creed iterations, I know that they got a bit tiresome, I guess, after a while. But
yeah,
at a certain point in the past, Ubisoft were a company that used to listen and learn, I thought. Because I remember when Assassin's Creed came out and the jump from Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2, in that short development time, if you remember, there was like a year between those games. But the quality hike was massive. And they kept doing it. They kept listening. And even the ones that weren't great, like Assassin's Creed 3, some people don't like, they always iterate on stuff. They're always, Ubisoft are always quite good, I think, at adding new stuff to games. Like they keep their tent poles, you know, they keep their radio towers and their big maps and all that stuff. But they do add stuff every game. And I thought they did that with Breakpoint. And I think The reason they sort of delayed everything, I think, was I hope that they listened to the complaints because the cash shop in that game was a disgrace, frankly. And I think they had this business model that they thought, if this works with Breakpoint, we're just going to push it on every title going forward. And it didn't. So I hope they've learned from that. Sorry, I hijacked completely to have a rant about Ubisoft.
No, we'll find out very soon about Ubisoft because I believe it's the end of the month. Ubisoft Forward, that's called. We'll have a chat about that at the time. But other than that, that is a podcast for this week. Thank you very much for all of you for listening. You can go to patreon.com/godisageek. And if you do dig this podcast, and I said dig and I mean dig, if you really like this podcast, you can go there and you'll be able to get it in audio and video form early. We actually do some like a sort of bonus episode video wise. That's like a little bit of outtakes where we're chatting before and after the pod, before we hit record. Although we have hit record, that's how it was recorded. We also do a podcast called Fork Off, which is about food, where we rank foods. Christopher White down there, he's in that as well. As Nicola Ardron and Adam Carroll, who I'm sure will be back next week. And we are working on getting Nicola Ardron on camera too, so we will have the whole team on the podcast at some point, I'm sure, if not before Game of the Year at least. Thank you very much for you guys for being here, Chris, and, of course, Nicholas Fraser. Thank you for being here, Mick. appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, give us a rating on iTunes or whichever. I mean, what are people even use for podcasts now? Stitcher, Spotify, we're on the lot. Do it there. Or just give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe. That's the thing. We find a lot of people in the stats that are actually watching the content, but don't hit the subscribe button. And if you're watching this, hit the subscribe button. You would not believe how much that helps the visibility for other people to find our content. Don't just think, well, they pop up in our feed. Actually hit the subscribe button. Really appreciate it. Everyone else, you know, thanks guys for being here, and we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Wave at the cameras, boys, and say goodbye to the microphones. That's how this stuff works. Bye,
goodbye,
everyone.
Goodbye, microphone.
Bye, microphone.
Hey.